This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
All right. What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. This episode is going to be with my buddy Thomas, the basement decorator. So it's been a minute since Thomas has been on here. Honestly, I'm recording. We do the episode because it's a very busy day for me and the family. We're helping my mother-in-law move again. Well, I shouldn't say again, but we're helping her move some more stuff from her old house to the new house. So Trying to get everything done before we go do that. However, I know it's going to be a good episode. Last time Thomas was on here was a really, really good episode. And so we'll see where it goes. I'm excited. But I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode with Cody. That was a ton of fun. And I can't wait to see him and the rest of the crew up at the Whitetail Roadshow. If you guys are interested in going to that, let me know. I can send you the link. Or if you just want to go to dyingbreedbowhunter.com. And come to the Georgia show. They still have tickets available. Me and my buddy Case from Second Amendment Outdoors, we're going to be going up there. And man, it's going to be such a good time. So yeah, before we get into it with Thomas, we got to run through these partners. I'm actually going to do these kind of quick because I know Thomas is waiting. So the podcast is brought to you by Sportsman's Empire. That's the network that this podcast is under. If you guys want a lot of awesome episodes, a lot of awesome shows that you can listen to that aren't just this one, head over there. I don't even know how many Dan's got under the network, but it's quite a few, and they're all really, really good. Let's see. Next up, Lone Wolf Custom Gear. I am running the V2 Doubles and the 0.75 DeQuisto Series stand. Head over to Lone Wolf Custom Gear and check out all the stand options they have for you and all the pack options, all the accessories. And if you guys want to run Lone Wolf, but you want something that's maybe a little easier on the wallet, they do make the Patriot series, which is their cast aluminum series. It's just as good quality as the DeQuisto series. The only difference is you're not going to have as many of the features as you would with the DeQuisto series, but it still gets the job done. So, all right, next up, Osseo Gear. That is the camo brand of choice that I have been working with and using for the past 3 years. Joe is coming on the podcast next month. It's going to be really, really good. Can't wait for that, man. Osseo Gear to me is like the coolest and the best camo that I personally ever use. That's why my bow is completely decked out in it. So if you guys want some new camo, head over to osseogear.com. Use for everyone that's listening, I always end up doing this on Osseo's moment, I guess. But we have a bunch of discount codes in the description below. And all the links to everybody's websites are down there as well. So if you want to go support them, please go do so. It helps them. It helps me. And you guys are going to be getting really, really high quality products. And we're trying to save you a little bit of money too. Let's see. Next up, Boutique, best arrow wraps in the game. Don't have to say much about that. G5 Outdoors, in my opinion, they make the best broadheads out there. I'm running the Mega Meat again this year, maybe the T2s. Prime Archery, I absolutely love my Prime. My Prime Divide 31 is fantastic. Haven't been shooting it as much because we've been pretty much swamped out with a bunch of rain. And then, of course, everyone decides to move at the same time. So I haven't had a lot of free time, but planning to shoot my bow hopefully this weekend at the time of recording this. But if you guys are looking for a new bow, go to your local shop or head up to Ace Hardware and Social Circle and go shoot the Primes. I'm telling you, they're totally different from all the other stuff. In my opinion, they shoot a lot better. They're more stable. Absolutely love those bows. Next up, Dialed Archery. So Dialed Archery has their 1776 small batch sight. I believe it's released already, but dude, it is sick. I'm not going to be getting one, but for those of you that are in the market for a new sight and you want to run something like that, go check it out. It is awesome. And Dialed has you covered in every other way as far as sights go. They got the Proof. For you guys that don't like the mover sights, if you want a fixed pin, they have the Strike. I mean, Dialed just covers all bases. let's see. Next up, Moultrie. That is the cell cameras that I've been using. I love my Moultrie. It's been working great. I actually confirmed last night that one of my target bucks from last year, Deadeye, is still alive, still hanging around. He daylighted. So that in the past week, I've had Maleficent, which was the really big wide eight that broke his rack early. He's daylighted this week. I've had Elmer, which was the 12 point. I guess he was like 3.5 years old. He was basically a mainframe 10 with two kickers on his G2s. He's shown up again, and now we have Deadeye daylighting. So, look, I know it's summertime, but these Moultrie cameras are working fantastic. I really am praying that these deer, stick around and show up when deer season comes around. But hey, it's the Lord's will, not mine. But if you guys want a new camera, go check out Moultrie. Next up, Bow Hunting League. I have not really much to say about that right now. I haven't really heard much. If you guys want to be a state sponsor, it's still $100 a year. You get a lot of the perks that we do. Bow Hunting League's been changing bow hunting for a lot of us out here, so very, very thankful to be working with them. Scrape Doctor. So Scrape Doctor, talk to James. He is getting in on the giveaway. Now's the time to get scrapes out. I put my mock scrapes out a couple days ago. And it's not to try and attract the deer, but it's I did it this early to pretty much establish, like, hey, there's a scrape here. So when the time comes that they're actually using them for the whole breeding purposes and stuff, they know there's a scrape there and they're going to hit it. So me and James are going to do a whole episode on that again for y'all that don't know, or maybe haven't heard us talk about it. But if you want some Scrape Doctor stuff, he's got the new bead system. Head over there and check out all the products. I mean, they're all great. They always work for me. Next up, Victory Archery. I'm running the HLRs. Catalyst Archery. I've got one stabilizer on my main bow, another one of their stabilizers on my backup prime. And dude, Catalyst just makes a high quality stabilizer for an affordable price. That's literally what it is. And I know he's working on a new design. I can't talk about it yet, but it looks pretty sick. And last but not least, Unbound Archery, which is my strings of choice. Absolutely love them. No stretch, they're already pre-stretched and no peep twist. Just absolutely, you don't even have to wax them. It's the Bloodline fiber. You don't have to wax that. Super, super easy to use and really, really high quality. So if you guys need new strings, head over to Unbound Archery. So that's all the partners. I can't wait to see you guys at the bow shoot. Michael Perry, I confirmed it. Michael Perry, the guy who you guys have listened to him on here a bunch of times. He's a public land wizard. Dude still holds the muzzleloader state record buck for Alabama. He is coming to the bow shoot. So I'm really excited to see Michael out there and hang out with him and, get him to be around everybody. Some guys from my church, actually shout out to Paige, one of our church members. I know he's a Sunday school teacher. I think he's a deacon. I don't know. But he is helping me, get some people from the church to show up. So dude, it's going to be a really, really good time. So this is the part where I tell you guys, if you don't know who Jesus is, listen up. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. look, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, he's a life changer. He saved my life. The things he's done for me. There's almost no words. I mean, truly, there's almost no words other than thank you, Lord. He is the King of Kings. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And just this week, man, I have gone from the lowest of lows to right now the highest of highs because of him. I'm not saying I was at my lowest because of him. I was at my lowest because I tried leaning on my own understanding instead of leaning on him. And I want to give a shout out to my Sunday school teacher, who was actually, I know for a fact he's a deacon at our church. Matt, you are awesome, bro. I hit Matt up with some questions about stuff, because I'll tell you guys a little bit. I struggle with, I gave my life to Christ two or three years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. And I thought it was going to be a simple change. I thought, or not a simple change, but like a drastic change, right? I wasn't going to drink anymore. I wasn't going to be going to looking at things I shouldn't, right? Let's just keep it PG for the kids if there's any kids listening. But basically, I thought everything my old life was going to end. And it, for the most part, did. But there's still things about my old life that still try to pull at me, man. And not a lot of times, but sometimes I do fall to them. And it made me feel like a bit of a hypocrite. Some of you guys who listen every week, you've probably heard, you know, some me talking about some stuff or kind of just saying I'm struggling with some stuff. Well, that's what I've been struggling with. And I talked to Matt, I texted Matt, I said, hey, am I doing this right? Like you're a deacon, right? Like you teach us every week. Help me. And the conversation we had, man, really, really helped me put it into perspective. Just knowing that I've got somebody that I can talk to about this stuff, it's great. It goes back to the men's mental health stuff, which I found out this month is Men's Mental Health Month. So any of you guys listening that have anything going on, you want to reach out to me, please do. I am open ears. My phone is always open. You know, Matt emulates Christ in a way that I want to one day. And a lot of people I've met recently, you know, have been doing that and been showing me. And like, I'm not saying that I'm out of the woods yet, right? Like Matt basically told me that it's very rare for someone to give their life to Jesus and then, you know, say it's an altar call and everything they used to do, they're done, right? Like that typically doesn't happen, that it's a process. And I've been told that, but I don't think I've ever been explained it the way that Matt explained it. And it made perfect sense. And so I can't explain it other than I have a new sense of peace that I had not had before. The things that I was struggling with, I really have no interest in. Like Jesus said that whatever, I'll put it this way. He said that if your eye is filled, I think Jesus said this anyway. I know it's in the Bible, so forgive me if I'm misquoting here. But I know that in the Bible, it says that if your eye is full of darkness, your body will be as well. If your eye is full of light, your body will be as well. That's probably a paraphrase, but the point is if you're filling your life or you're focusing on things that are not of God, why would you expect to have any type of connection with Him, right? But when you turn away from that stuff and you start focusing on things from God, that's where you get the full experience. And that's when your relationship with Him grows even more. I will say this week, I have learned that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And that is, I mean, literally, I have felt that this week. So thank you, Matt. Thank you, church. Thank you, Paige. Thank you, everybody that listens to this. Go check us out on YouTube, check us out on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. I think that's pretty much everything. I'm thinking about doing a Q&A video or episode. We'll see. I'll post it if I decide to do that. And then you guys can throw in any questions you want and we can just, I'll just run them, you know, run through them here. But yeah, man, life's just really good right now and I have no one to thank but Jesus Christ. So Lord, if you're listening, thank you for saving me, which I know you are listening. So all that out of the way, Thomas is waiting on us. Let's get into it with Thomas, the basement decorator.
Welcome to the Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast. This is the Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast.
All right, y'all, it's been a long time coming. We got my boy Thomas, the basement decorator, back on the podcast again. Dude, how long has it been since we did this? Like 2 years?
Yeah, two and a half years, something like that. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I hope you didn't feel neglected.
I feel
terrible.
No, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, dude. Well, see, and the thing is, like, so I'm not on TikTok a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I know that, like, that I think I first heard about you with Working Class, then I saw your TikTok stuff and it was really, really good. And then I kind of got tired of TikTok. And then I saw you pop up on Jordan's podcast, on the Mason Dixon. And I was like, oh, crap, dude, what's Thomas doing? And then episode 100, I just have to jump right into it. Episode 100 was amazing.
That was a debacle. Dude. I'm pretty sure I didn't enunciate one word clearly.
What's really bad is there were times I couldn't tell you between one of the other guests. I forgot his name, but I was like, I don't know if Thomas is talking or not, but whoever's talking right now, this is great. And like the whole thing, it was just, y'all,
that probably was not me because I was hammered the whole time. So,
I mean, I could understand every word that was said in the podcast. Yeah. Now
we had a good time and, we covered a lot and it was one of those nights that was just, it was like hunt camp. It was a freaking blast. So,
dude, what's so bad. We should have done this sooner, but there was something you guys were talking about towards the end that was getting me like emotional. I want to say it was maybe men's mental health, but that's like a thing, especially with the month we're in now. Everybody wants to, you know, throw around rainbow flags and stuff. But like, I found out yesterday that it's men's mental health month. And so like that, whenever that gets brought up, I did an episode with Dustin and that was one of the hardest episodes that I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, it just doesn't get talked about enough, you know? Yeah. So like, well, when you guys bring it up, I love it.
I think hunters, we kind of live that very high highs, very low lows. And this time of year, I mean, I'm always in touch with my closest friends a lot, but this time of year, you just really need to call people because like a lot of people don't have that release right now because there's nothing, you know, turkey season's over. You can get out and scout in 100 degrees if you want. I'll pass on that. I mean, I've pulled 5 ticks off of me in the past week. So it's, I mean, men's mental health, I think is something that, you know, we don't talk about. And it's, I think we all experience it where you have those low moments where you just feel like you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard Dustin's story as well. And, you know, I've heard many others too. And the reoccurring theme is, you know, a man needs a purpose. A man needs something to live for. And this time of year is tough for a lot of people. You're stuck at a job you don't like. You don't have anything to hunt. You know, you know, some people are out bow fishing or things like that. But, you know, I think it's so important this time of year more than any other time of year just to reach out to your friends and just say, hey, how you doing? And if you're close enough with them, if they say, okay, or I'm fine, have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
And, you know, just be there for your buddies. So,
yeah, I mean, that is extremely important. Like, I got to give Dustin props and he's going to listen to this and be like, dude, thanks for the shout out, man. But that's just the kind of guy he is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he'll text me once a week and be like, hey, bro, how you doing? And it's like, some weeks I'm like, bro, I'm great. Other weeks I'm like, dude, how much time you got?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's crazy too, because I was talking to my wife about it and I'm, you know, she understands it. You know, and especially like how deep I've gotten in my faith. I wouldn't say that I get really kind of down. I mean, it happens still, you know, but having him to lean on, there's always a way to, I guess, feel better. Right.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you do have faith, you know, you can go to the Lord, you can take those things to the Lord, you can pray about it. You know, if you're in a church or in a small group, you got people you can talk to that feel the same way, but there's never a good reason to quit ever.
Yeah, no.
Like, I think what happens is men will reason, I've done this, this, and this. I've hurt these people here, here, and here. And then they just do it. And there's no coming back from that. And it's funny to quote Yellowstone, but I'll never forget when Kevin Costner was talking Jamie out of committing suicide. He said, this is all they will remember of you.
Yeah.
They won't remember anything that you've ever done before this, anything after. Your name will always be associated with this. And there's just never a good reason to do that. So.
Well, thank you for spoiling Yellowstone for me, because I've only seen like 5 episodes.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah. No, I agree though. I mean, I've been there, you know, it's been a long time, but I've definitely been there. I mean, I did not mean to start this podcast off so heavy.
No,
I really
no,
didn't. I mean, but I mean, it needs to be talked about. You know, like I had Cody DeQuisto on last week, and it makes me wonder, like, how growing up with a dad that is like Andre, right?
Mm.
Love the guy, respect him, all that stuff, but having that type of pressure.
Yeah.
And knowing the pressure I put on myself, like during deer season or with life or whatever, it's like, dude, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know how people can do it without having an avenue, you know? It's crazy, dude. It's just, so I guess basically what we're saying is, anybody listening, if you need someone, reach out to us.
Hit us up.
Something.
For sure. Yeah. Hit us up.
God. All right. Well, let's brighten it up a little bit. What have you been up to the past 2 years?
Well, I have been, you know, pretty busy with hunting and stuff, but also just swamped with fatherhood. I mean, in a good way. Like the past two deer season, my oldest started hunting. He's killed five deer in the past two deer seasons. So it's added a whole nother like type of enjoyment and, you know, just another element. When you're going into the woods with kids, there's a lot more stuff that you have to take. There's a lot more things you have to think about. And, you know, I still have had my trips and everything, but yeah, I've just been very busy with that. And, you know, just trying to enjoy it. You know, it's not going to be here forever. So,
yeah. Well, and you're making memories with your kid too, you know? You're making core memories that when he's our age, he's going to look back and be like, dang, I had a pretty cool dad. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's already been like, when are we going? When, you know, he's all about it. So,
yeah. Dude, all right. So, didn't you, he's not around, right?
No.
Okay. Didn't you say on Jordan's episode that you've actually got a surprise for him this year?
Yeah, I do. We are actually going to be going to Missouri with him for the youth season. And he will be hunting with a rifle on his 10th birthday.
That is freaking awesome.
So it'll be a surreal trip. I mean, gosh, you know, when any of us were that age, we would have been happy to see a spike. And he will be too. Like if I tell him go, he's going to go. He could care less. And as you should at that age, you should care less. And, but the time of year that we're going to be there, it's not if. He's gonna get a crack at something, especially with a rifle in his hand. So that'll be a really cool experience. We're just going to go on a road trip, and you know, he'll have no idea we're going to show up at my buddy's place. So shout out to him. I think I'm gonna try to. Okay. There will be three of us. My buddy actually, an incredible gift. And it's a gift to himself too, but I know he did it with this in mind. He went out and bought two redneck blinds, and he's going to put them over his two best food plots. So we will have the ability to move around a little bit, and I should be able to have like a bog tripod in there for him to anchor the gun down. So that should be pretty fun.
Dude, what are you going to do if like a 200 steps out?
Send it.
Dude, that's awesome.
Send it. I mean,
he's already killed other deer. So like, it's not one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's my boy's first time.
Yeah.
It's his first deer was a 200 deer or 200 inch deer. And then it gets ruined, you know? Yeah. So he's already experienced.
This time of year, I'm pretty certain we'll see a pretty good 2-year-old, 3-year-old. But if something big comes out, I mean, the property owner, he's one of my closest friends in the world. His name is Jeff, and he's just all about it. And he is one of, if not the most unselfish hunter that I've ever hunted with. So
yeah,
it's an incredible gift. I know that my son will realize that, and it'll be fun to experience. So
dude, I really, really hope that you film this. That when I heard you say that, like my heart jumped, because you know, I'm putting myself like in this situation. Like what would I have felt like if my dad did that? I probably would have been on the moon, you know? Like that's such a cool thing. I wish I could do that with my daughter, but I took her hunting once and we were there for 2 hours. I think we saw a squirrel and she was on her iPad the whole time. We were in a ground blind, you know, and she was like five. So what do you expect?
Yeah.
But the bad part is she keeps asking to go. It's just my ground blind got destroyed. I'm not going to go into full detail just in case the property owners are listening. And give more details later, but let's just say I lost that property.
Yeah.
Just a lot of drama. So now I know she's going to be like, hey, can I go with you? And I'm like, look, kid, I can't put you on my back when I'm hanging a stand. Like I'm sorry, you know? But one day, I'll figure something out and get her out there. But see, I told her, I was like, listen, cause she wants to kill something. I was like, I'll get this crossbow restrung. We can take your gun or your mom's gun, whatever, and we can do whatever you want to do. And she's like, yeah, let's take the gun. I was like, all right, if you kill something, you're gutting it. And she looked at me and was like, I'm not doing that. I was like, you got to. I was like, it's part of it. So
you know what's funny about kids too? My hold on. Can I get someone to shut a door real quick?
Yeah, I'll be
right back.
No, you're good.
Sorry.
You're fine. All right, little intermission. I'm not going to let
that go. Guys, shut the door.
Oh, well.
Be quiet.
Dad life. Gotta love dad life, man. Oh, dude. The amount of times I've had to do that here. If you guys could hear the dog going crazy upstairs right now, she is going absolutely crazy.
My 4-year-old's up there playing Big Buck Hunter on the video game type thing and just making a racket. So
that's fun. But, I was filling the dead space with me being like dad life.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what it's like for you guys that aren't dads yet.
Yeah. So. Sorry.
No, but, you're good.
No, what I was saying about kids is I was walking out of the woods one night with my son and I was very proud of him. We had been 4 days in a row. We hadn't seen a deer, you know, which is real hunting.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, do you want to come back tomorrow? And he said, yeah. So, well, what's your favorite part about hunting? And like so many times we associate fun and hunting with success. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, I just like being alone with you in the woods.
Aw.
And it's like, it really kind of checked me a couple times this year where we get caught up chasing, you know, I'm never not going to have fun chasing a big buck, but
yeah,
you know, it's not what hunting all of it is. So, yeah,
it's one of the, it's a realization I've had, especially after last year, and it wasn't kid related, but dude, that spike behind me off to my left, that's the first buck I killed in 3 years.
Yeah.
When I tell you that I cried.
Oh yeah.
That buck. Just because of what happened. Like, you know, I've told the story a few times, but like I was in the stand and it was November 1st. And I was like, Lord, I know, you know, I always pray in the stand, right? So
yeah,
I'm like, Lord, I know I haven't killed nothing in 3 years. I have a 5.5-year-old, probably 135, 140 inch deer showing up. There's another 120 I would shoot, but I don't care what you send. Just send something, right? This is after I got busted somehow because the wind wasn't blowing. So he had to have seen me, but it was a small little, you know, those spikes we get sometimes that their spikes are literally an inch thick.
Oh yeah.
That's what it was. He snuck up behind me, whatever. And so next thing I know, I just hit the grunt tube and apparently this deer's name is Wolverine. I didn't name him that. The neighbor named him that, but I hear crashing and I'm like, oh, here we go. And his little dinky butt comes running up the hill. And I'm like,
yeah,
I look up. I was like, all right, I told you I'd shoot whatever. So he comes in, works a scrape 18 yards from me and just, and I actually got to watch him. He was probably about 30. No, he's probably about 60 yards maybe from where I was. And I watched him tail flicker, fall over, and I could hear him take his last breath. It was that quiet.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I remember like after I shot him, I called one of my buddies and I was squatted down because it was just such an adrenaline rush. And I prayed again and I said, Lord, let me find him, please. Because last year I shot a doe, couldn't find her. The year before I ended my season shooting a doe and didn't find her. So I'm like, man, is this just what it's going to be now? You know, nothing but shooting stuff and not finding it.
Yeah.
And I look up and I can see him and immediately waterworks. I was like, dude, that's where I realized that chasing big deer is fun, but it's also extremely stressful. And it's, I personally feel like it's not what we're out there to do. We're not what we should be out there to do. You know, it's focusing so much on one specific deer because you miss everything else.
Yeah. I think what I've tried to do differently really in the past 3 years is I have my properties where the chase is fun.
Yeah.
There are big, like you can't kill a big deer unless there's a big deer on the property.
Yep.
And then I have properties where, you know, it's just a bunch of does. And I go out there and with the sole intent of hunting and shooting the first thing that I see.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you have to mix it up like that because every hunter is on their own journey.
Yeah.
And you need to embrace where you're at in that moment. Now, I do think it's good for people to like kind of mature and, you know, realize new goals and everything. Cause if you don't have goals and you don't really have anything that you're going for, but like if the only way you define success is whether or not you get the big buck, you're never going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that was me for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I got humbled real quick. I think that's what it was, is like, you know, and I always try to relate things back to like God's plan, right? I went 2 years after killing this deer back here saying, all right, I'm going to kill something bigger. That's all I want. So he's 102 inches, shouldn't be hard to do, right?
Yeah.
I had plenty of deer on camera. I actually saw one that I've been kind of following for the past 2 years. I had him in 25 yards, but he was behind a bush and I couldn't shoot and it got dark.
Yeah.
And then last year, man, I went into it like, look, I'm not, you know, all the deer I was hunting disappeared. This other spot that, you know, 5-year-old buck's different than anything that is out there.
Yeah.
So I was like, screw it. I'll just shoot what I can. Am I going to do that every year? Probably not. But I wanted to ask you too, like your opinion. So I've been sort of wrestling with this. Do you think that when, say you go to a spot, right? And you've got, I'll use one of my spots or my spot, for example, I've got 2 bucks that are 5+.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be smart, right? But there's also a lot of does.
Yeah.
Do you think opening day, say I go out there, I'm just like, I just want to kill something and I shoot a doe. Do you think the idea of shooting a doe at a quote unquote buck spot actually hurts the property, or do you think it really doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters. I think we all take into account the whole, I mean, I think pressure is real.
Yeah.
But not like early season. I think it's more beneficial for you to become a better hunter. And you become a better hunter by shooting more deer.
Yeah.
And, you know, early season, if you're whacking does and pulling them off, I mean, there's a good chance if you're seeing a buck in August, he's going to disappear for a little while anyway. And a lot of times they'll come back to that property for the rut. And, you know, the big problem we have in North Carolina right now is a lot of people aren't shooting does because some of the laws that have been put in place. And we are just so overrun with doe. Like I had a property last year, it was 40-acre property. And I had one hunt where I counted 22 different doe.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And, you know, we finally started shooting some of them. But, you know, that's what I'm going to do early season is I'm going to go out with this whole mission to thin some of those numbers out. Because I think you take stress off the buck because, like, let's say you have 2 dominant bucks on the property and, you know, there's that many doe around. They feel like they got to go breed every doe. So they're just running around stressed out. And, you know, they're going to be bedded up a lot more than they're going to be running around. So, I think anytime you can go out early season, shoot some deer, you become a better bow hunter. Cause you can shoot at a target all day long.
Yeah.
You can't replicate the heartbeat, you can't replicate the adrenaline, you can't replicate when to draw, when to release, none of that.
Yeah.
You only do that by shooting deer. So,
yeah, I've tried to replicate it for years and it doesn't work. I've done push ups, I've ran laps around the house, I've chased my cats and they've chased me. It just doesn't work. It does not work at all.
The biggest mistake I hear with like new bow hunters is they will go out and they're like, I'm only bow hunting. I'm only shooting bucks. I'm only doing this. You don't know what's what until you do it.
Yeah.
So your goal, if you're a new bow hunter, every hunt, in my opinion, should be to kill a deer.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. I completely agree.
You know, and it doesn't matter what the deer is, you know. Like, who cares what anyone else thinks? There's a bunch of idiots out there that want to, you know, be keyboard warriors and stuff like that. I mean, like, if I'm on a property, like my West Virginia property, we have 20 guys. We have 15,000 acres. We have rules. But we're all paying a lot of money to be there.
Yeah.
So you have to have rules. But if it's your 40 acres and that's all you get to hunt and you hunt once a week, who cares what anyone thinks?
Yeah.
Go out and do what makes you happy.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with like social media, you know, is we've gone from, and I've been guilty of this too. Like I said, I used to say, I'm not shooting anything under 125. I want to Pope and Young. I want to do this. I want to be this deer hunter or whatever. And, you know, you post a spike. I mean, what was crazy is I post that spike last year, fully expecting people to be like, oh man, why'd you shoot a spike? I didn't get a single negative comment. So that was kind of refreshing.
No, that's good.
And
that's great.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I said, haven't shot a buck in 3 years and the Lord sent this one. So I took it. I don't know if it's got something to do with that or just the fact that maybe people are kind of waking up and realizing like, dude, we shouldn't be tearing each other down, you know?
I mean, bow hunting is hard.
Yeah.
Anyone who says it's not has never done it. I mean, you know, anytime you get a deer with a bow, it's an accomplishment and it should be celebrated. And I think what kind of put fuel to the fire for so many years was guys would post a picture and then somebody would belittle the deer. And then they would be like, well, they thought they had to explain it. You don't have to explain it to nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you did it legally, you know, go get the deer. I mean, I shot this one this year. Biggest 6-pointer I've ever killed.
Oh, wow.
And when he was walking out, I was in West Virginia. I was like, man, I've got bigger deer on camera. What am I doing? It was literally my first hunt in November up there. And I've been hunting up there for 3 or 4 years now. And I was like, man, I haven't killed one up here. I was like, screw it. I'm shooting. And I was damn proud of that deer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, this conclusion I've come to. I like shooting deer.
Yeah.
I cannot stand them being alive around me. I mean, I know I'm probably stealing that quote from somebody, but I can't stand it. I like shooting deer.
Yeah.
I like shooting big deer. And I have properties where I chase big deer. You know, most of that is out of state for me. But like around here, I might fill all my tags in September this year. I don't know.
That'd be great. I mean,
which would free me up to travel more during the rut.
So, yeah. Well, and it's the thing is, people want, and I absolutely love like the hunting content that we have these days, like the Seek One stuff and, you know, like Bone Collector still doing their thing, Realtree Road Trips, all of that. Everything that I watch, especially like the Working Class Unhinged series, that I love watching that stuff. It's all big stuff. It's cool to see.
Yeah.
The problem is people that don't know, especially the newer guys, they see that. They see Lee Ellis kill his fifth 200 in 5 years. And they're like, oh, dude, I want to do that. They don't realize really what the work is to go into that. You know, like that's a year's worth of door knocking and traveling and being away and spending a ton of money and all this other stuff. And Lee's got like the experience to be able to do that and the time to be able to do that. Your weekend warrior guy is not going to do that. It's I'm not saying it's impossible. You might get lucky, but as a weekend warrior, I don't have the time to go do it. So,
yeah, you know, I think a lot of people look at, you know, some of the people you just named and they think that they would insult you if you shot a certain deer.
Yeah.
They may joke about it. They may do something like that, but they would also be the first people to come out and help you drag it out
100%.
Because they are incredible ambassadors, all the people you just named. And I think what people do is they see. Most of the people, I've learned this, most people that talk junk about your deer have never killed a deer.
Yeah.
You know, there are these people that watch all these videos and everything. Like, you know, I think, in my opinion, I think Lee is one of the greatest ambassadors we can have for hunting because he just seems, I don't know him personally or anything, but he just seems so real.
Yeah.
And he absorbs, he gets more hate than anyone. He's probably the biggest name in hunting right now. And if you look at some of the comments, you know, that's a pin raised deer, blah, blah, blah. Could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
And he does such a good job of just kind of brushing it off and doing his thing. And that gets back to every hunter has to have their own journey. There may be deer that I pass next year that if I saw you pass it, I would be enraged at you.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why did you pass that? And I tell people when they come to my properties, you know, it's different for each person and their experience level, but, you know, there's some people shoot whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that joy away from me.
Well, the thing is like comparing, I don't mean to cut you off, but it goes right to your point. Like I've seen one deer in my entire hunting career on the hoof that was just massive.
Yeah.
Right. It was my second year hunting. It was at least 160 inch deer. It was on public. Never thought that I'd see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, the me back then could not have handled that deer. If he was standing in front of me at 20 yards, the inexperience that I had and all of that, I never would have been able to make it happen. I don't even know if I could do it now.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I get like my knees disappear when I see a buck in front of me. It's even worse when I see a doe. I don't know what it is. But
There is no more skittish deer in the southeastern woods than a doe walking up to a corn pile.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I will, I would stand on that business. And there's so many people, like, I have the privilege to hunt a lot in the Midwest, and I love hunting in the Midwest. I love that there's no bait out there.
Yeah.
But if you're hunting in the Southeast, you either have a lot of bait out or your neighbor does.
Yep.
And if you don't have a lot of bait out, you still have a chance to go kill a deer, but you're just not going to see the volume of deer, if any deer.
Yeah.
And when a white-tailed doe in North Carolina is walking up to a corn pile, that is a challenge.
Yeah.
That is a challenge because she is so skittish. I mean, fawns here are born looking up. So, like, that's why I say, especially early season, man, go out and shoot as many deer as you can. And that is how you become a good bow hunter.
Yeah. I mean, you just gain the experience by doing it.
Yeah.
So I want to get your thoughts on some of the things that have been happening, I guess, in the hunting world lately. I did an episode a few weeks ago about the Michigan changes. Talking about how, like, I personally think Georgia should go to a one buck state with an earn a buck system, because we have the same problem as you guys. Nobody is shooting does. I mean, you get the seek one doe day, but one day out of the whole season is not going to, you know, change up, I guess, the percentages of buck to doe ratio. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that one buck in general is kind of better, or do you think, like, what? How many bucks do you guys get in North Carolina? Three?
We get two, and we get four doe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a lot of deer.
We get 10 doe and 2 bucks. That's insane. I thought y'all would have been higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, they do have CWD counties here where you can get, you know, a bunch of CWD tags. I actually really like the one buck system. I wish Missouri would go to one buck selfishly, because no, it's 2 bucks. I mean, you can you can shoot one buck during archery and you can shoot one buck during gun season. But I love the earn a buck system. I think the only way that we get people back into deer hunting is to incentivize them to shoot does.
Yeah.
And I'm all for making it the largest number possible. I think, like in North Carolina, I would love it to be, you can shoot one buck whenever you want, but if you kill three does, you get your second buck. I just think we have such a problem, and, you know, there a lot of the counties that are very overpopulated, they had like transportation laws where you can't take the deer home because of CWD. So a lot of people didn't want to be out in the woods, and they didn't want to, you know, be cleaning a doe at 9 p.m. and get home late and everything. So, I'm all for that. I think you'll see, like, Michigan, I bet you in 5-6 years, it's going to be a destination state.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I already know that they've got, in southern Michigan for sure, they've got giants. Yeah. And so they're just, it just kind of makes sense. Cause like, one of my buddies posted on this Georgia hunting page on Facebook like a week ago. Dude loves to stir the pot. So of course he posts one of the things that I was talking about with the earn a buck system. Yeah. And I was reading the comments and like everybody on there, I'm going to say everybody, it was probably 50-50, but a lot of them were, nah, let's keep it 2 buck, or I like the 1 buck system. And I went on there, I'm like, guys, if we went to a 1 buck system, now you can still shoot that spike if you want to. Yeah. But if you're like pretty much every single deer hunter out there, you want the big buck. Well, guess what? If you're only shooting one, that means the one that you would have shot is going to live. And I mean, I've got proof right now, bucks I didn't kill last year, they're a lot bigger. That's what they do if they live. And I feel like we've gotten into a spot down, especially down in the South, where it's like, you know, the brown is down mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for it. If you're doing that to put food on the table, fine. But I don't know. There's a few changes I'd like to make. I mean, this whole antlerless, antlered thing, I think it needs to be buck tag, doe tag, you know, that way button heads aren't getting shot on purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of different things I would like to see changed, but I'm just one fish in a giant pond. So
the thing that frustrates me sometimes is the people that, like, don't get me wrong, I love deer meat, and we eat a lot of it in my house, especially now that my son's killing deer. But when somebody says, you know, this is what I feed my family with, well, let's do a 10-year study. how many bucks have you killed and how many doe have you killed? And if you're not using your doe tags, then you're really not worried about feeding your family.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, granted, if the law says that you can shoot what you want when you want, you know, I'm never going to back a guy into a corner and shame him for that buck. Yep. But who would not like to shoot a big buck? And who would not like to see a healthier deer herd? Who would not like to see a more active rut? And the only way we make that happen is by being true conservationists and taking out the amount of does that the state has allotted for us to take.
Yeah.
And, you know, we like, I left two tags on the table last year. And, you know, I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to make sure I get them down early. So,
see, that's what kills me, man, is like I left 9 tags on the table, but not because of lack of trying, you know? I mean, could I, like, I saw more baby deer last year than I did. Actually, I'm pretty sure I only almost saw baby deer and like young spikes and stuff the whole season. Yeah. It was a weird season. So I'm kind of writing that one off. The year before I saw plenty, but you know, it's, I get a little annoyed when I see a lot of people be like, oh man, you know, I want to get this buck or the, I'm like, guys, some of us out here, you know, cause a lot of Georgians will give it up about end of November. We still 2 months of deer season after that. I'm out there with my bow in cold, windy weather, like trying to at least kill something. Yeah. And, you know, then they want to start talking about people not shooting does. And I'm sitting here like, dude, why aren't y'all shooting these does? Because again, they just, like you said, they're just after the buck. And once they get the buck, their season's over. And it's like, why do we have 12 tags if we're not even going to use them?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
give me the tags. Put me someplace that's got 35 does. I'll take them out.
Yeah, but for sure.
I don't know, man. And you know, it. I did have a place that every single time I went, there were does. And I'll admit, I passed them up.
Yeah.
I also shot 4 does on that property in 1 year. Mainly because I'm like, well, this buck's, I haven't seen him in 5 days. I want to kill something. So, you know, it's just,
I think we've all become too reliant on the processor, right? You know?
Yeah,
I definitely not. and like one thing I tried to do last year was like, I made sure that the properties that I was hunting the most, I had somewhere to hang it. I had a system to where I could debone it very quickly. Yeah. You know, I had a way to get rid of the carcass legally. You know, and I had bags to put the meat in, put it on ice, take it home. And that way, because that's what happens is you start calculating in your head, how long is this going to take? Is the processor going to have availability? Are they going to do this? And we become so reliant on a part in a step in hunting that can be enjoyable. Like my son last year, the last deer that he got, he looked at me on his own and he said, Dad, if I'm man enough to shoot it, I need to know how to clean it.
That's a good kid right there.
And I looked at him, I said, okay. And it took a long time.
Yeah.
But we, you know, I was walking him through it and he wasn't grossed out by the guts or anything like that. And I think we have a whole generation that just takes it to a processor. And processors fill up in November.
Mine always fills up. I'm guilty of it too. Like, Thomas, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I've gotten so spoiled. I don't even gut the deer anymore. Mainly because it's like, I'll pay the $40, you know? And I was telling my buddy Josh, I was like, dude, I hate to say this. You might have to run me through it again because it's been 4 years since I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's well, and that you, bad.
You don't, this goes back to shooting does. Yeah. Everything, every aspect of hunting you get better at by putting more animals in a cooler. And
so what you're saying is I need to gut my own deer this year.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, sometimes you don't have time, right? But like, if you can, I think it's just a step that, you know, adds to the whole romance of hunting.
Yeah.
It's something that, I mean, I invested in a slicer. I invested in a good grinder. I actually made my own summer sausage last year. And it's fun to, you know, take stuff to people, let them try it, let them be introduced to venison and know that I did it all.
I think what it was for me is like the last deer that I processed myself. God, you know what? It might have been this buck that's over here. You can't see him in the frame, but I made deer tacos one night.
Yeah.
I pulled the meat out, throw it on the pan, whatever. And put it all together and start feeding Jess and Tiff. And Tiffany takes a bite and there was a hair in it still.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jess took a bite and there was a hair in it still. And they looked at me. They're like, did you not? Why are there hairs? I'm like, well, okay. First off, it's a deer. I don't know if you know or not. They're pretty hairy.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've always taken it to the processor. We've never had that problem. So again, it goes back to what you were saying. Like, the more deer you kill, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just really funny.
You don't have to, like, people don't need to do it every time. Right. But I just think it's a step in, you know, you should at least teach a kid how to do it. You should at least know how to do it. Yeah. So that if you're in that position, because that's probably the number one reason why we don't shoot enough does is we go, I don't have time. I don't want to mess with it. There's not a processor close. Yeah. Not a processor open.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't do it. And, you know, I think we should at least have the option. And I think it goes into pre-planning. You should plan as if you're going to kill every time and have a plan. Like,
yeah.
Like, I know guys that'll show up, they'll shoot one that they don't have a cooler. They don't have a knife, nothing. And I'm like, well, what was your plan? You know,
I mean, I don't think I was going to kill nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
what are we going to do? Like, if, you know, if things hit the fan, and I mean, granted, this is like very dramatic, but we don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. What are we going to do if society collapses and we actually have to hunt for food? You need to know how to process that thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that was my biggest fear when I first started hunting was, what if I accidentally get one? You know, it was like, what am I going to do? You know, I don't know. And that's what I try to, if I've got a new hunter with me, I try to walk them through that whole process so they have the confidence that if they ever go out on their own, they at least know what to do if they get one.
Yeah.
So that's
funny, man. You just made me realize something about myself I didn't even know.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, I really am spoiled.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. So what are your thoughts on the Oregon stuff? You've been keeping up with that?
Yeah, it's scary, man. And it's something I've actually kind of been thinking a lot about. It's something, I'm 41 years old, or I'll be 41 next week.
Well, happy early birthday.
Well, thank you. It's something I think that all of us for years have said, stop the infighting, stop the infighting, stop this, stop that. There are people, and there's a lot of them, 1.2 million in Oregon, who want hunting gone. They want this way of life gone. They want, I think it's so much deeper than just hunting. They want mental health gone. They want all sanity gone. They want every damn thing that's good gone. And I think it's something that we need to fight. You know, we have a lot of good organizations in hunting, NWTF, the NRA, I consider to be part of hunting. You know, there's a lot of other good organizations that are probably going to fight this in the courts if it does go to a vote. Yeah. But yeah, it's serious, and we're one generation away from losing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we all need to do everything we can, if you have any type of voice, to speak out against it.
Think of like I was talking to a buddy of mine about it this morning, right? Because it's been on my mind too.
Yeah.
And I have to be blunt with it. Like, I'm not surprised. I knew this was coming. The second that they started making everything legal there, all the drugs are legal. There's no police system anymore. Like, that whole state is falling apart. Yeah. And I can't remember if Cam Haines lives there. I think he does. And I'm just like, I know he travels, but it's like, bro, what are you going to do if you want to go hunt blacktail and you can't? Yeah, you can go somewhere else, but are you saying anything? And I haven't been following Cam. I'm sure he said some stuff about it, but
yeah,
it's just like, if Oregon does it, it's going to go one of two ways. Either they're going to do it and the initial result is going to be no one's going to see a change. So now other states are going to look at it. You know, we'll see California start doing it. We'll see Washington start doing it. It's going to start moving east. And I think by the time it makes it its way to us, that's when you start seeing the negative effects. There's going to be too many deer. They're going to be starving. There's going to be disease. Or people are going to be hitting them with their cars. And then they're going to be calling us back and saying, okay, we need you guys. Yeah. And it's going to be a free-for-all. And all those states are going to be like, OTC for everyone. They're $20 a piece. You can shoot 50 deer because we have so many. We need these things to go away.
Yeah.
That's the positive side. The negative side is it sweeps the whole nation. And I know down here in the South, it's going to be very difficult to do, but
it's not something that I per se super worry about in the South. We got too many rednecks that are crazy.
Yeah.
And
which they would do it anyway, even if it was illegal.
Yeah. I mean, you can take it away if you want. They're going
to
do
it. I'll be the first to say publicly, if they do that here,
I'd still hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're not going to take that God given right away.
No. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, they have enough, I think they have enough people that have signed it to bring it to a vote. So we'll see, you know, it's going to come to the people now. We'll see how democracy works, you know, if we still even have a democracy. But it's, you know, there's just a lot going on in our country right now that's scary. And this is, definitely a big one for me, and hopefully we can defeat it. So,
yeah, I mean, I'd like to sit here and say that if that happens, that we're just going to start seeing monster blacktails, but knowing how the, comparing what I think their ecosystem would be compared to ours.
Yeah.
It's going to be devastating. Cause I mean, so Oregon's got, and I don't know how much you know about the whole thing, but like, I can't remember. Did they outlaw predator hunting over there?
I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I know somewhere did recently and everyone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Black bear population, brown bears, all that stuff. All the predators are just out of control. And they're like, yeah, you can't kill these beautiful creatures. And I'm like, yeah, until they eat your chihuahua. And then what?
Yeah.
Oh, then what do you want to do? Yeah. You're going to hire.
Yeah. I think there was a state that outlawed mountain lion. I mean,
that's what it was.
But I don't remember which place it was. I'm glad I don't have to deal with mountain lions, but
yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that we're here.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
I never thought in my lifetime, I mean, granted the past 10 years, you know, maybe I could have been like, yeah, eventually that might happen, but not really believing it. But now that I'm seeing it, it's like, dude, is anyone going to go in there and do anything? I mean, I don't know if anyone in the government spoke up about it, but like,
I think there's a lot of organizations like, you know, some of the ones I just named that do things on the back end, you know, they'll with different lawsuits or whatever, they'll find a way to get it in front of the Supreme Court or something like that. I think one huge advocate we have is Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
He's an avid outdoorsman, so I'm sure he's very aware of all this and, you know, probably knows a few important people to get involved. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think there's a lot of states right now that are testing the waters. They're seeing what laws they can put in to limit what a hunter does. We're in a weird place in this country because I think it is okay for a hunter to have an opinion. I think it is okay to not like a certain method of hunting, but I don't think it's okay to hate someone over an opinion.
100%.
Either for or against. I think it's okay to have open debate in this country and talk about things. Where we have gone totally down the crapper is we generalize, if you believe this or you believe this, you are this or you are this.
Yeah.
And I hate you if you believe this, and I hate you if you believe this. And we no longer have open debate about anything. And you'll see people, you know, get their panties in a wad because somebody says something about a certain method of hunting, but that's just their opinion.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to have an opinion. It's the United States of America. You know, that's not, in my opinion, that's not like fighting. It's, you know, it's somebody who truly believes in conservation and wants to see it thrive, and that's why they have the opinion, but that's also why they might have that opinion.
Yeah.
And you need to like be able to talk to each other about things and find a common ground. And the common ground is we all love being in nature and we all love, you know, pursuing critters that God put on this earth for us to eat.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's, well, and I feel like it goes even further than hunting because, I mean, look at Charlie Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that I think for me personally was like, I've never gotten emotional over like some high profile person passing away or getting killed. I mean, yes, it sucks. I definitely don't enjoy it. Right. But when that happened, it was different. And ever since then, I've started seeing more and more, I don't want to say radical or anything like that, but yeah. I feel like that was kind of the proof that we needed, like the regular, normal thinking people that we needed. It's like, oh, I could get shot because I disagree with this person. That's insane. Like, yeah. Why are we there? You know, and with hunting too, I mean, it's all over Facebook. It's all over everything. People literally will. I've seen so many people get pissed off that people reap turkeys. And I didn't even know what reaping was. Like, I'm not a turkey hunter, right? So I looked it up. I'm like, why do you care?
Yeah.
Well, why do you care?
The people that get pissed off about that have never tried it. I mean, my fat ass tried to do it several times and the turkey saw me and ran off right away. So, I mean, if they think it's a slam dunk, it's not. But like, there's just so many different things in hunting where it's okay to, like, I understand why a turkey enthusiast is against it. I also understand why somebody wants to do it. But like to hate each other over something as simple as that, when you're both hunters just doing what God gave you a right to do, what we were honestly, in my opinion, born to do is to go out and, you know, bring home food to our families. It makes no sense. Just have a debate about it and move on. Don't hate somebody over it.
Well, like I always looked at, like I look at hunting as a very, very important thing. Like it's extremely important to me. But I also looked at it like, if you really look in the grand scheme of society, guys like Michael Waddell, he, as famous as he is in our space, I know people that don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is it now with this whole Oregon thing? How is it now that hunting is at the forefront? I didn't even think people really cared. Like what? Because my outlook is, if I'm in the woods and I'm trying to get a food source that is healthier than anything that's at Kroger, Walmart, whatever, why do you care? You know
what
I mean?
They fear us. They fear us.
That's probably what it is.
I think they fear us because they don't know us. They don't understand us. They think that we're out there just to kill. They have no idea that when I plant a food plot, I take one deer off of it and I feed 30 others the rest of winter. You know, they have a fear of somebody who has the guts to walk 2 miles into the woods in the dark and doesn't care about predators, who sits in a stand and prays to God and is at peace. They fear a man like that who is confident in himself. And that fear, all they know how to do is legislate. You know, all they know how to do is make a new law to try to hold us back, to try to put us all in this bubble. And the good news is there's millions of us and they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Cause I fear no man. You know, I fear God. And, you know, when I was younger, I would be so scared walking to the stand in the dark. And now I don't even think about it. Cause if I'm supposed to die on the way to the stand, that's when I'm supposed to die.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm okay with that. So.
Yeah. It took me a while to get to that, especially on public land when it's pitch black and I've got 15 feet of light in front of me and I hear twigs snapping.
Yeah. And
I would psych myself out so bad. I'm like, oh dude, Bigfoot's following me. I'm done.
Yeah.
Right? Like just the worst thing you could think of. And now it's like, I don't even care. You know, like you said, if it's my time, it's my time. If not, I'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And I guess that mindset does scare some people because they're just scared. Life is scary to them, which I feel for them. I do, you know, but it's like, man, I feel like if we could get them out there, you know, and just say, look, this is what we do. We're not a bunch of Elmer Fudds, you know, just looking at a camera and be like, shh, be very, very quiet. Like, we're not all doing that, you know?
Yeah.
We care more about the resource than PETA does. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I had an argument with my, I guess you could call it, by law, she's my mother-in-law. We don't see them. But what we went over for dinner a few years back and she was like, you know, I mentioned something about deer hunting. She's like, how could you ever shoot Bambi? I'm like, really? I was like, do you really want to have this conversation right now? Mm. And she was like, I just don't understand. I'm like, let me explain. I feed these deer every single week. All right.
Yeah.
If I wanted to shoot every single deer I saw, I could, but I don't. I don't shoot them does with fawns. I don't shoot fawns. I respect these deer. I've respected these deer my entire life. I respect all of the animals that I see. If I was just some bloodthirsty killer, I'd have 1,000 squirrels on my wall or in my freezer, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I just don't understand. I was like, what you don't understand is that killing is actually the worst part. I don't enjoy it, but it's what we have to do. And she obviously, I didn't change her mind, and we haven't seen them in, I haven't seen her in like 4 or 5 years, but it's just crazy, man. Like, I wonder if some people just can't understand that, you know?
Well, they don't understand that vegans kill more animals than anyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, all their vegetable fields, you know, get sprayed for beetles. Yep. So it gets,
how many bugs die? How many mice die?
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's, there's a circle of life and you're part of it.
Yeah. So, and death is part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we, that's one argument I gave to her. I was like, do you understand that there are coyotes out there? She goes, yeah, they're cute too. I was like, I agree. I love coyotes. I think they're beautiful animals.
The
problem is a coyote is going to eat a deer backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And that deer's not going to be dead. And she was like, oh, I was like, yeah, exactly. What I'm doing, that deer's dead in 30 seconds. Probably has no idea what happened.
Yeah.
But a coyote, that deer experiences everything. So you tell me what's worse.
Oh,
I
was like,
yes, that's nature, but so am I.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, man. I can get really fired up by it because, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's, and you can, I've thrown scripture at people being like, oh, hey, by the way, Acts 10:13, go check that out. And it's like, they don't want to hear it, you know? So,
And there's some people you're just never going to change their mind. And some people are just unhappy. And, you know, those people that are just unhappy, they want everyone to be unhappy with them.
Yep.
And you can't help somebody like that. So, you know, sometimes you just have to brush it off and just move on and know that you stand firm in your beliefs and that, you know, would I fight for this way of life? Is deer hunting or hunting period something that I think about that is ingrained in my soul and part of my life? Yes. I can't imagine life without it.
Yeah.
And that scares me because turning 41, stuff's harder. It hurts. And I know one day my last hunt will happen. But until that happens, I will do everything I can to keep this around for generations to come.
Yeah.
And not that I have a super big voice or anything, but, you know, I will, the little bit of voice I have, it will be loud.
Yeah.
For hunter's rights. Seen, and
your TikTok numbers are pretty high. So I'd say that
sometimes,
pretty decent voice. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I'll tell you right now, they try to bring that stuff to Georgia, I'll be the first one on that podium being like, this will not happen.
It's not.
I'll tell them straight to their face, understand, you can pass whatever law you want, but every single guy in this room is going to still go hunt deer. So I hope you got a big enough jail cell and good luck catching us.
For real.
But on a lighter note, let's talk about Israel. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
You don't want my opinions on that.
I try to keep that out of this, but
yeah.
Man, so, all right, well, God, dude, we need to do another one where we're not a little bit time constrained.
Yeah, for real.
But I want to end this episode on a positive note. So what do you have planned other than that hunt with your son this year?
I'm really excited about this season because I'm going to get to do something that I haven't done in 7 years. I don't have anything planned, but I know that I'm going. And the reason that I'm excited about it is I'll be in Illinois, I'll be in West Virginia, I'll probably be in Texas again. And the reason I don't have anything planned is I feel like the weather over the past 3-4 years, you know, that second week in November was just always beautiful in November.
Yeah.
But it's gotten really hot.
It has.
It's gotten really hot. And I feel like sometimes towards the end of the month is better, towards the beginning of the month is better. So this year, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be watching cameras and I'm going to be going. I've saved up a bunch of vacation when the weather's right, even if it switches at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has already been notified about this and is cool with it.
I was going to say, did you talk to the boss?
Yeah. Like it'll take me 9 hours to get to where I'm going to hunt in Illinois. It takes me 4 hours to get to where I hunt in West Virginia. When the weather's right and when the deer's showing up, I'm going.
Dude.
So I'm really looking forward to it because I feel like I'm not going to be constrained to a trip. I'm going to go and I'm going to trust my instincts. And I've got a couple of properties here in North Carolina. I'm always gone. And like
I believe in history more than scouting.
Yep.
Especially if you've been on properties as long as I have. And I've got properties in North Carolina that October 27th through November 3rd, I can tell you exactly the scrape line that these deer are going to be on. And if I sit there all day for 6 days, I will kill them.
Dude.
Like that, I don't even doubt it. I know I will kill them. They are on, you know, it may not be a deer that I know or something, but something big will show on these properties. And I just got to put my time in, and I've got the ability to do it with not having, because last year killed me, man. I was so excited going into the season, but I had three different trips. I was in Missouri for a week. I was home for a week. I was in West Virginia for a week. I was home for a week. And then I was in Texas for a week. And by the time I got home, don't get me wrong, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I was completely drained.
Oh, yeah.
And then December, I killed some, what did I kill in December? I killed a couple does, I think. Or maybe one doe, and my son got a couple deer. But, you know, I was kind of over it. I just burned myself out. So I think, you know, having the element of trusting my instincts, following cameras, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to it. So,
yeah, that is, God, that's going to be so sick. I can't wait to see what you do with that. But I will say the October last, see, I've got a, I don't want to say a theory, it's pretty much a fact to me now, but definitely the last week of October and the first week of November in the South is like the time, you know, and it's crazy because I always say that. And then next thing I know, it's that time and I'm like, what am I going to do? You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've pretty much made the plan this year. I'm just going to hit public early season unless these bucks are showing up. Because the last year was, I don't know about up there where you guys are, but down here, our acorn crop was insane and it was hot.
And it was insane everywhere except for my properties. Oh. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I had all my friends calling me, I've never seen a mass crop like this. And I'm like, I just walked my whole property, looked at all 336 oak trees and didn't find one damn acre. Like, I get it. I know it's bad. And that hurt me because they were everywhere else until I was out of town all of November. And that's when I'm sitting in a tree in West Virginia. I'm like, yeah, I would have shot him. Yep. Would have shot him. You know, so it's,
I just look at last year and say, it's a wash, man. You know, like I went and I got drawn for a quota hunt, hunted a really good spot that I know there's usually deer. Didn't see a single thing. The property I had 8 shooter bucks on. Now these are all deer over 110 inches, right?
Yeah.
I had a couple that were probably pushing 140.
Yep.
And I didn't know at the time the neighbor was actually building a ground blind or a box blind during deer season, which you tell me how that makes sense, but whatever. And they all disappeared. I had one buck the whole time, like literally end of October to probably end of November, one whole month, one buck that was showing up that was, I would have shot him and he broke his rack, but I was like, I'll kill him anyway.
Yeah.
And typically on that property, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the year before I had bucks in there all the time. So it's just that, you know, pressure and going to feed every single week, multiple times a week. Like I got a little too excited, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right about like the history of things and just, I know that those deer are in there. So,
I mean, like that property I was just talking about.
Yeah.
6 years ago, I was walking in and literally 150 yards from where I parked, I saw this scrape line. So I threw a camera on it and I left it alone that season. And it was just every day, daylight photos, every day. And I kind of just didn't think about it for a couple of years. And then I was like, you know what? I think that, I mean, I knew there was good bedding. I knew there was good water. I knew there was good food right there.
Yeah.
Three things that you need. And I was like, and also, they see me when I pull up. So I started parking in a different place and I started hunting that area. And I've killed 3 bucks on that scrape line, 150 yards from where I used to park.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you just got to kind of pay attention to stuff like that. And it's funny because it's different deer. I rarely see the same deer on this property year to year. Yeah. I had one that I chased for two seasons. He ended up getting killed by the neighbor. I called him after he killed it. I said, "I'm so happy you killed that deer." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, I've hunted him 64 times. I'm so glad that you killed him."
Yeah.
Cause it's over.
He's finally gone.
Yeah. So, but,
that's crazy, man. Yeah. I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, you know, cause I've never had a year like last year. You know, I've always been told if you got acorns, you're good. And in that spot, they're usually that they drop late September, or no, I'd say mid October is when they drop. And so I started seeing them and was like, "Oh, dude, they're going to be in here." Not a thing.
And if you have acorns and you have corn, you're better.
Well, I had both and nothing was showing up. And so I went to my taxidermist I think it was actually when I killed that spike. And I asked him, I was like, "Are you seeing this too? Is it just me? Like, am I messing something up?" He goes, "Dude, it's the whole state."
Yeah.
It's hot.
I think they were just staying deeper in the woods because there was so much natural food.
Yeah. He told me there. He was like, "They're staying in the oak bottoms. If you can't," and the smart ones are going to find a spot that there's food, there's does, there's cover. The wind is in their favor. You're never going to get them. And it was true. I mean, when I hunted public last year, I was actually mobile for once, and because I'm trying to get into the whole mobile game. Yeah. And I found a really good spot, but you know, there was a thunderstorm that came through. There was a lot of reasons why it didn't work out.
Yeah.
That and the week or 2 weeks prior, it was cold and most of the bucks either got killed or spooked, and it wasn't a good setup, right? But again, taking that history, knowing what's around there, you know, you don't know what can
happen. Dude, one day it's going to click for you, and you're going to be like, because I think back to when I didn't really start hunting until I was 18.
Yeah.
And the first like 4 or 5 years that I hunted, I had a year where I literally went 32 times and saw no deer.
I've been there.
And then it just like started clicking and clicking and clicking. And, you know, you just learn more and more and more. And I mean, now I'm looking at my wall and I've got about 16 deer over 140 inches, you know, and you have to just learn, where to be.
Yeah.
And it's not anything that you can hear on a podcast or anything, because nothing applies to your property except to your property.
Yeah.
And you've just got to, you know, have that relationship with your property to know where you need to be, not where somebody said to be. Me and Jordan, you were talking about Jordan. We both think this way. I do not look at the wind when I'm in the south. I don't look at it at all.
Yeah.
I go to where the deer are because the wind changes direction 57 times.
Yeah.
And if you have a small property and you're out there baiting, they're getting used to your scent anyway.
Yeah.
So
I thought that. And then opening day last year, I got in the stand. Or no, it was day after. And I actually told Cody this last week, and he had a good idea or a good philosophy on it that I'm curious what you think. But I was using scent control stuff. I've kind of gone away from that because, I mean, let's be honest, we're never going to beat their nose. So anyway, but yeah, I'm in the stand and like I see this, I know it was a doe afterwards, but I see this deer hoof about 60 yards away. And the only reason I saw it is because she was stomping. And so immediately I'm like, "Ah, dude, you got to be kidding me." Right. Well, the weird part was the wind was not blowing in her direction, at least from what I could tell. And so I told Cody that, and he was like, "Dude, she smelled you. 100% she smelled you." Because, you know, his idea was that deer are going to smell you regardless. They just have to make the decision to go in there because it doesn't feel like a threat.
Well, and I think one thing that I've gotten better at over the years is I agree. They're probably going to smell you.
Yeah.
You know, but I have gotten better at hanging because I do all preset stands. Lord knows how many tree stands I have out there. I'm sure there's 100 out there. I don't even know where they're at.
Yeah.
But I like to hang stuff where if they smell me, they can't see me.
Yep.
Because I think when they smell you, a lot of times they'll just keep walking and they won't even care about it. But if they look up and they see something that looks weird, I like to be in the lens. I like to be totally, and it takes a lot to hide 6'4", 270. But I just like to be totally engulfed to where if they look up there, it just looks like a big blob of a tree.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some deer, they get a whiff, they're gone. But some deer, they're going to send check. And if they don't see anything, they'll keep coming in. So.
Well, and like another thing that I learned, you were saying, you know, you have to learn and things start to click. So last year, my setup, my mindset, I was only about 12 foot up, right? I wasn't that high. And that's kind of what I've adopted is hunting like that. But what I didn't know and what I have learned since then is I had stuff in front of me and below me. But when I say in front of me, I don't mean like in my face or anything like that. Like I looked at that tree this early off season when our green up happened. And even with the green up, I'm like, dude, of course they definitely saw me. It was there's a reason I didn't see any mature animals because they all knew that I was there. The younger ones didn't care. They didn't know. And so I spent like just this past week, I put food out again and actually started seeing deer more consistently again. And I spent probably 30 minutes when I was in there, like dissecting where I wanted to hang. And what's funny is my buddy used to hunt that spot. His stand is still there, but it's kind of sketchy, you know, like it's a little rusted. Yeah. I'm not going to get in it. Yeah. But I picked that tree because I'm like, dude, if you look at it, I've got, it's a single base tree, but then it's got two trunks splitting up.
Yeah.
He's on the back trunk. The other one is off to your right. Well, the deer typically do come from the right. And when I was looking at it from where the deer are at eye level with where their heads are, there's good cover next to it, to the left of it, and behind it.
Yeah.
So even if I'm there,
yeah,
I'm not getting skyline like I was.
Your best bow hunting spots are where you think you don't have a shot.
Yeah.
Because if you walk into woods and you go, this is beautiful, this is where the deer would be, they're not going to be there.
Yep.
You want to be in the gnarliest, most briars, nastiest crap possible to where like you get up in a tree and you go, well, I've only got one shot here and one shot here. That's where you need to be.
Yep. And you just need to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm so excited for deer season, man.
Oh, me too.
I really am. But look, I know we're both on a time constraint. Yep. So we're going to have to do another one where we have a little more free time. But why don't you go ahead and give us a shameless plug where everyone can find you?
And, yeah, I'm on all platforms. It's just Basement Decorator. I have not done as much this spring because I've been helping coach two baseball teams, but I'll be getting back in the swing of things as the season gets closer. And like we said at the beginning, if you're struggling with mental health, please reach out. I will talk to you as long as needed. I care about you, and other people do too. So there's never a good reason to do that. So,
amen to that, brother. Well, guys, it's another episode in the books. Remember, Christ is King. Go read your Bible and go shoot your bow.